You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Unexpectedly heartfelt ukulele performance there from Iceland.
It's Eurovision on 95BFM with our European correspondent Cameron Mulgan.
It's time to get into this week's Eurovision, our regular segment where I catch up with European correspondent Cameron Mulgan to hear about what's going on in Europe. This morning, Cameron joined me from Berlin and we spoke about the developments in the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Nazanin Zaghari Ratcliffe, who's just returned to the UK after being detained in Iran for nearly 6 years. And we spoke also a little bit about what's happening with the music scene in the wake of Brexit over there. Here we are now.
So let's begin with an overview of what's happened in Ukraine since we last spoke. Can you give me an update on the current situation there?
Yeah, so the war is almost 1 month in. 3.5 million refugees have so far fled Ukraine, with over 6 million being internally displaced. There's been warnings of food shortages around the country, even in Russian-occupied Kherson. The war kind of creeped towards the west of the country. There was a missile attack on an air parts factory in Lviv. Russia also stated to have used a hypersonic missile to destroy an underground arms depot, although that hasn't been verified. That's quite significant because if it's true, that kind of missile system bypasses current missile defense systems. Although there has been, on the whole, there's been kind of no major changes on the front lines. So the Ukrainian Defense Ministry have even stated that they've launched some counterattacks outside of Kyiv. The Ukrainian Health Minister today said that 10 hospitals have been completely destroyed since the Russian invasion. And UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres yesterday described it as an absurd and unwinnable war. So Zelensky continues to appeal for peace talks with Putin. It's thought that becoming an independent non-NATO country is acceptable, but talks on separatist regions in Crimea are the sticking point.
Let's focus now on the siege in Mariupol. What's happened there and what does that mean for Ukraine?
Yeah. So Mariupol is a city in the country's southeast. It's a port city and it's quite important because it could be a land corridor between the separatist regions of Ukraine and Russia, and also Crimea, which it annexed in 2014. So Zelensky claims that there's been nothing left there, and with survivors calling it a hell on earth due to the current siege and bombardment. So, and with civilians saying, you know, each time they emerge from a bomb shelter, it's just a different city. It's estimated that around 80% of the city's homes have been destroyed, with almost 30% beyond repair and 80% of infrastructures been destroyed. So yeah, it's kind of absolute devastation. There's estimated to be over 100,000 people still trapped. There's been no kind of main humanitarian corridor which is agreed. Last Wednesday, you probably saw in the news that a theater which was being used as a shelter with kids written outside was bombed. There's been kind of unclear numbers of what happened there. That there was estimated to be 1,000 people sheltering there, but over 100 people have been rescued. So, and on Sunday, Russia gave short-term notice for the forces inside Mariupol to surrender, but that was rejected due to them having little faith in Russia. A lot of analysts are saying that Putin is using this is using Mariupol as an example for the rest of Ukraine, especially Kyiv, basically saying, you know, if I can't take the city easily, I'll just destroy it instead. It echoes what happened in the 90s with Grozny, the capital of Chechnya, where there was a war with Russia, and also in Aleppo during the Syrian civil war.
Can we talk a little about the response outside of Ukraine? What's happening in the EU? And maybe we'll touch a little on the NATO summit later this week.
Yeah, so the EU are kind of struggling to agree on the next round of sanctions. So Baltic states and Poland have been calling for more, although other Western European countries have a bit of a hesitation, both for, you know, their own economic and also energy concerns, which we spoke about last week. Mm. And also if they hesitate, also if they need to escalate if things get worse, although some people are saying, well, how could it get any worse? You know, like Renault, the French company with French government backing, has resumed operations inside Russia, and the Swiss giant Nestle have continued to with their food operations there. So it's a bit iffy. Biden travels to Brussels tomorrow to meet with EU members, and on Thursday there's a big NATO summit where they'll try and agree on what to do next.
And slightly more positive news, let's talk about Nazanin Zaghari Ratcliffe, who's just returned to the UK after being detained in Iran for nearly 6 years. Could you give me a summary of what happened and some background to the story there?
Yeah. So very positive news. When the news was announced, the BBC newsreader even teared up a bit. So, Nazanin Zaghari Ratcliffe, she was a dual British Iranian citizen, and she was arrested in 2016 while trying to leave Tehran Airport with her daughter. And she was um, for, arrested for supposed spying. So she'd been held in prison until when COVID hit in 2020, where she was released on home detention. It was widely believed that her detention was linked to a £400 million debt the British government owed owed Iran. This was back when the Shah of Iran bought some tanks, and during the 1979 revolution, the UK wouldn't pay it. So they finally agreed to pay a third country, believed to be Oman. But there was a lot of conflict over the years over how to pay it, if they would accept the debt. There's calls for an inquiry of why it took so long. Nazanin actually yesterday in a press conference kind of politely disagreed with her husband on kind of thanking the foreign secretary. She said, you know, it took five foreign secretaries to bring me home. Like, it should have happened back in 2016. So yeah, there's a call for an inquiry, both kind of what happened inside between the government of why the British government was not wanting to go with that debt. And also it's believed that the Trump administration also put on a lot of pressure on the British government of not paying. Apparently Mike Pompeo, the former Trump Secretary of State, called it blood money.
We'll try and end on a slightly lighter note, although there is that really, really positive news that she's returned. Here at B, we're all musos. We've just been chatting in the newsroom this morning about how excited we are for the gig scene to return. Wow, we're crossing our fingers and our toes that it will. Wondering what life is looking like for musicians over there and in the wake of Brexit.
Yeah. So like, with kind of COVID taking a backseat, things are starting to happen. In Berlin, clubs are open again, which is really cool. But for British musicians wanting to tour the rest of Europe, it's not as smooth sailing. So during the Brexit negotiations, the Brexit Minister, David Frost, they rejected an EU offer to retain the visa and permit-free tours. So now, basically, if British bands want to tour, there's a lot of red tape. And last week, the former Brexit Minister, he actually admitted during a lecture that his Brexit deal had failed British musicians wanting to tour. And even last year, during a session with MPs, Elton John, he dismissed criticism from artists like Elton John, and he insisted that it's fine and we can do bilateral agreements. So yeah, very good that things are opening up, but kind of a bit of a misstep from the UK for Brexit.
It'll be awesome to have some British bands over here soon too.
Definitely.
All right, thanks so much, Cameron. Really appreciate your time as always, and we'll catch you next week.
That was our European correspondent Cameron Mulgan speaking to me about the Russian invasion of Ukraine, Nazanin Zaghari-Ratcliffe's return to the UK, and the effect of Brexit on the music scene. Make sure you tune in next Wednesday. Cameron and I will keep covering the situation in Ukraine as it unfolds, and we'll also talk about what's going on around Europe.
Macedonia with a reggae twist.
That was Eurovision on 95 BFM.
That was a 95 BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.